So you're maybe looking at properties in Malaysia, comparing locations, maybe the designs. But have you really thought about what's underneath it all? I mean, the land title itself.
Exactly. It might sound a bit technical, maybe even dry,
Yeah,
but
definitely.
understanding these different land titles is, well, it's crucial. Absolutely
It
fundamental.
really dictates your rights as an owner, doesn't it? And
Yeah.
impacts things like resale value, your whole investment picture.
Completely. So for this deep dive, we thought we'd try and, simplify things a bit.
Cut through the jargon.
Yeah. Offer a clear guide to the main types you'll likely come across. We're talking freehold, leasehold, boomy lot.
And then those other ones related to the development itself, like master title, individual, and strata title.
That's the plan. Let's unpack them.
Okay, where should we start? Maybe with the one everyone seems to want, freehold.
Sounds good. Let's start with freehold. For a lot of people, it really is seen as the ultimate goal in property ownership. It has a very strong appeal.
Absolutely. I mean, freehold, the name itself sounds permanent, doesn't it? Like you own it forever.
And that's essentially the core idea. In theory, it's yours indefinitely for good.
So you can pass it down generation after generation.
That's right. And this feeling of, lasting ownership, it often makes these properties really desirable.
Which can lead to better resale values, maybe higher rental income.
Generally, yes. It's perceived as more secure, more valuable, often the go-to for a really long-term investment.
Okay, so that sounds pretty straightforward. Permanent ownership, high value, any catches?
Well, it's seen as permanent. It's maybe not completely untouchable. It's wise to understand the nuances.
Ah, okay. So
Yeah.
even with forever ownership, there's a condition. What's that about?
Yes, the government does retain the right to reacquire the land. It's called compulsory acquisition.
Compulsory acquisition. Okay. Under what circumstances?
If they need the land for a public purpose, think a new highway, maybe a hospital, something for public benefit,
Right.
they do have the authority to take it back in those cases.
But what about the owner?
That's the crucial point. Landowners are entitled to compensation, and it has to be fair compensation based on the current market value.
Okay, so it's not just taken away. There's a process and there's compensation involved based on market rates. That's important to know.
Definitely. So that's freehold, that sense of permanence, high desirability, but with that small possibility of government reacquisition, though with fair compensation.
Got it. Now, how does leasehold stack up against that? It sounds quite different.
It operates on a totally different basis, actually. Instead of owning it forever, you're essentially leasing the land from the government
Leasing it. For how long?
for a fixed period. Typically, it can be up to 99 years, sometimes less, but 99 is very common.
99 years. I mean, this sounds like a really long time to most people. Almost a lifetime.
It does, absolutely. But the key difference, the fundamental one, is that there is an end date.
Right. Unlike freehold. So what happens when that lease runs out?
Once the lease expires, the ownership of the land technically reverts back to the government, the state authority usually.
Okay. Can you renew it? Extend the lease?
Yes, renewal is possible. You can apply for an extension, but, and this is important, it involves paying a renewal fee or a premium.
Ah, a fee. How much are we talking?
That can vary quite a bit depending on the state, the property value, and how long the extension is. And the length of the extension you get can also depend on how many years were left on the original lease when you applied.
So the closer you get to the expiry date.
The more significant it becomes. The remaining lease term really impacts the property's market value. And it can even affect your ability to get financing, like a mortgage, especially when the lease gets below, say, 30 or 40 years. Banks get nervous.
That's a really key point. So the initial price might be lower than a freehold equivalent,
Often, yes.
but you've got this diminishing asset in a way and potential future costs for renewal. Why would someone choose leasehold then?
Well, affordability is a big one. Leasehold properties can often be significantly cheaper upfront compared to freehold in the same neighborhood.
Okay.
And sometimes they're located in really prime strategic areas, places where maybe freehold land is just incredibly rare or prohibitively expensive.
Ah, so it could be a way to get into a top location.
Exactly. It's a trade-off, really. Lower entry cost, maybe a fantastic location, but you have to factor in that finite lease and the potential renewal cost down the line. It needs careful long-term financial planning.
Makes sense. Access versus long-term certainty and cost. Okay, let's shift gears to something quite specific to Malaysia. Boomy lots. You hear this term a lot.
Yes, you do. Boomy lots or boomy cooter lots Are properties specifically designated or reserved for Bumiputera individuals?
Bumiputera includes...
It includes Malays and also indigenous groups from Sabah and Sarawak and other indigenous Malaysians as defined by law.
So it's a specific ownership category tied to ethnicity or origin. What are the key things people need to know about these?
Well, the main one is eligibility. Only Bumiputera individuals can directly buy or lease these properties initially.
Only Bumiputera.
Right. And interestingly, developers are often required to allocate a certain percentage of new projects as Bumi lots. In places like the Klang Valley, it can be around 30% of the units in a new development.
30%? That's quite significant. Now, what happens if a Bumiputera owner wants to sell later? Can they sell to anyone?
That's where it gets a bit more complex. Selling a Bumi lot to a non-Bumiputera buyer isn't straightforward.
How so?
It usually requires obtaining consent from the state authorities to release the lot from its Bumiputera restriction. This process can be quite lengthy, potentially taking years, and approval isn't guaranteed.
Years. Wow. Okay.
And here's another nuance our source mentioned. Even if a Bumi lot gets this consent and is sold to a non-Bumi buyer,
yes,
it often technically keeps its Bumi lot status on the land title registry.
So wait, a non-Bumi can own it, but it's still officially labeled a Bumi lot?
In many cases, yes. The release allows the transaction, but the underlying designation might remain. This could potentially influence future sales or regulations within that development. It's a subtle but important point.
That is important. So what does all this mean for the resale market for Bumi lots?
Well, generally the pool of potential buyers for a direct purchase is smaller, right? It's limited to Bumiputera buyers unless that consent is obtained.
Which can take time and isn't certain.
Exactly. So this can sometimes mean that the price appreciation for Bumi lots might be a bit slower compared to comparable non-Bumi lots in the same area. It's a more restricted niche market.
Okay. Now, you sometimes hear about Malay reserve land, too. Is that the same as a Bumi lot? The source material pointed out this confusion.
Good question. No, they're not the same, although both involve land reservations.
What's the difference, then?
Malay reserve land, or Tanah Rezab Melayu, is specifically for Malay Muslims. It's a stricter category.
Stricter how?
It generally excludes Sabahans, Sarawakians, and non-Malay Muslims, even if they are considered Bumiputera for the purposes of buying a Bumi lot. So the eligibility criteria are narrower for Malay reserved land.
Okay, that's a crucial distinction. Bumi lot is a broader Bumiputera category, while Malay reserved land is specifically for Malay Muslims. Thanks for clearing that up.
No problem.
Right, so we've tackled freehold, leasehold, and Bumi lot. The other titles mentioned, master, individual, strata, seem more about how the actual development is structured, less about the underlying land ownership duration or restriction.
That's a good way to put it. They relate more to the stage of development and the type of property. Let's start with the master title.
Okay, master title. What is that exactly?
Think of the master title as the parent title. It's the main title held by the property developer covering the entire piece of land for a project before it gets divided up.
The whole project, like an entire apartment complex or a whole neighborhood of houses.
Precisely. When you buy a brand new property, especially early on, the whole development, whether it's high-rise condos or landed houses in a big estate, is initially under this single master title belonging to the developer.
So as a buyer, you don't immediately get your own specific title document.
Not usually right away in a new development. Mm-hmm. Your ownership is initially tied to the developer's master title through your sale and purchase agreement.
Okay, so when do you get your own title? That must be the individual or strata title, right?
Exactly. It depends on the property type. For landed properties, think terrace houses, semi-detached bungalows, even individual shop lots.
Yeah.
The title eventually issued to the owner is called an individual title.
Individual title. And that signifies?
It signifies direct ownership of the specific plot of land your house sits on, along with the building itself. It's your piece of the earth, so to speak, documented separately.
That seems quite clear cut. You get a title for your specific house and the land it occupies.
Generally, yes.
Now, what about apartments, condos, serviced residences, buildings where lots of people share the same plot of land?
That's where the strata title comes in. It's specifically designed for these multi-unit or multi-level developments mm-hmm. with shared common areas and facilities.
Like the swimming pool, the gym, the lifts, hallways.
All of that. The strata title basically divides the building and land into individual parcels, which is your specific apartment or unit that you own solely in common property.
And the common property is owned jointly.
Yes, jointly owned and managed by all the unit owners through a management body, often called a joint management body, JMB, or management corporation, MC.
Okay. And you mentioned these are increasingly used for landed homes, too.
Yes, particularly in gated and guarded communities where houses share facilities like a clubhouse, pool, or security services. These landed strata schemes are becoming more common.
Interesting. Now, one thing that stood out in the source material was the time it can take to get these strata titles issued.
Yes. That is definitely something buyers need to be aware of. The process of subdividing the master title and issuing individual strata titles can sometimes take a very long time.
How long are we talking?
It can unfortunately stretch from, say, 7 years in some cases, up to even 20 years or more in others after the building is completed.
20 years. Wow. Why does it take so long?
Well, it's a multi-stage administrative process. It involves detailed surveying of the completed building, preparing complex strata plans, getting approvals from multiple government departments and land offices.
Lots of bureaucracy involved.
Quite a bit, yes. And sometimes delays can happen at various stages. So if you're buying a new high-rise, you'll likely be under the master title for quite some time before you receive your actual strata title document.
That's a significant waiting period. Does not having the strata title immediately cause problems for owners?
It can sometimes make things like selling the property or refinancing a loan slightly more complicated, as the transfer process involves the developer while it's still under master title. Having the strata title simplifies these transactions.
Right. So, summing up these three, master title is the developer's initial title for the whole project. Then, depending on the property, you eventually get an individual title for landed property or a strata title for units in shared developments.
That's the gist of it.
If someone's buying, how can they be sure what kind of title applies or when they might get the individual or strata title?
The best way is always to ask the developer directly, get clarification, and crucially, check your sale and purchase agreement, the SPA.
The legal contract.
Yes. That document should clearly state the type of title the property currently has, or the type that the developer is obliged to apply for and transfer to you.
So read the SPA carefully.
Very carefully.
Yeah.
And maybe get your lawyer to double check that part specifically.
Good advice. Wow, we've covered a lot of ground there. Freehold, leasehold, boomy lot, master, individual, strata. It's clear that the land title isn't just some piece of paper.
Not at all. It's fundamental. It really defines the nature of your ownership, your rights, what you can and can't do, and definitely impacts the property's future value and saleability.
Definitely. So just to recap for everyone listening, maybe a quick summary table.
Good idea.
Okay, so freehold. Think ownership forever, generally speaking. Usually the best bet for long-term value appreciation.
Right. Then leasehold. Ownership is time-bound, typically up to 99 years. Can be more affordable upfront, maybe moderate risk depending on the remaining lease.
Got it. Boomy lot. Reserved specifically for bumiputera buyers. It's a niche market which can limit the resale pool and potentially affect price growth.
Correct. And finally, master, individual, and strata titles. These relate more to the development structure and stage. Your ownership type depends on whether it's landed or high-rise, new or established. The investment outlook varies hugely by project.
That's a neat summary.
And the overall takeaway really has to be about due diligence.
Absolutely.
Whether you're buying your dream home or an investment property, understanding the land title is non-negotiable. Talk to a lawyer. Do your homework on the specific title.
Really dig into it before you sign anything.
Exactly. Can save you a lot of potential headaches, financial stress, and legal issues later on.
So true. It really shapes the entire ownership experience.
It does.
Okay, so as you're out there looking at properties in Malaysia, remember this conversation. Look past the nice kitchen or the great view for a moment and ask about the land title. Consider how these different types, freehold's permanence, leasehold's time limit, boomy lot's specific market, strata's shared ownership, really fit with what you want long term, your goals, your circumstances. It's a question that goes way beyond just location and price, isn't it? Something to really think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.